Good morning, everyone. I'm Ramdeo. I am currently a postdoc working at University of Florida at Quincy in David Wright's group, working on Brassica carinata as a new bioenergy crop for the Southeast. This project that I'll be presenting this morning was motivated by some failures that we had in production fields over the past few years. For the past 3 years, we had 10,000 acres of this crop grown in the tri-state region of Alabama, Georgia, and North Florida. So in some fields that had high N, more than 80 pounds of N per acre, you would have lodging. Or years where we have intense rainfall, you would have lodging. So to manage the canopy structure, we were thinking using plant growth regulator would kind of aid in minimizing the risks. So this morning, the title of my talk is The Effect of Plant Growth Regulator Source Rate and Timing on Carinata Agronomic Performance. I'll be presenting 3 one-year studies because we change the study year after year based on the results. So gibberellins, which is considered the plant growth hormone that mainly responsible for stem elongation, is synthesized in the stem apex and is translocated to the stem internode where it stimulates cell division and elongation, resulting in increased internodal lengths. Our goal with carinata production is to have a compact canopy structure which would enable crop standability and subsequently harvestability. So plant growth regulators are antagonistic to gibberellins, and it inhibits the cell elongation, which results in thicker, sturdier stems, which reduce lodging and improve the winter hardiness of this crop because it's a winter crop in this region. So by using plant growth regulators, we can manage production risks resulting from lodging by adverse weather conditions or high nitrogen use. There has been several reports that it's kind of conflicting on the success of the efficacy of plant growth regulators in Brassica species, but there are a few that says that exogenous application of plant growth regulators can manage canopy structure with a minimal yield penalty. So we tested several products in these three studies, and they block different parts of the gibberellin biosynthesis pathway. We tested chloramiquat chloride, PIX, or mipiquat chloride, and paclobutrazol. So the objective is to determine these three factors, source rate and timing, the efficacy of them to reduce plant height and what effect they have in reducing yield. So the first study that was done in 2015-16 was a controlled greenhouse study, and we tested two varieties. The commercial variety then was A120, and the variety on the cusp of commercialization was AGR044, which has become the commercial variety at present, Avanza 641. And we had three application rates of a chemical called paclobutrazol, a control 10 ppm and 30 ppm, which was applied at vegetative stage and at bolting. What we found that we were able to suppress plant growth with the application of a plant growth regulator, whether it's plant height or the internode length in this case. But what was interesting here is as we suppressed the growth, we also had a yield penalty. There was no interaction between variety and concentration, but when we look at the main effect of concentration, there was a 38% yield penalty with using a plant growth regulator. I would like to say here that the efficacy of this plant growth regulator was really determined by the coverage of the chemicals on the crop. We applied it in the greenhouse study to drip point and ensure that the stems had adequate coverage. In the field, it was a whole different story where we applied it and 15 gallons per acre, which have affected our results. So based on the outcome, we determined that it's efficacious in controlling plant height, and so we took that and informed a field study. This was a randomized complete block study in a 2x2 factorial arrangement of treatments, and these treatments were those same two varieties. We included chloramiquat chloride and paclobutrazol as the plant growth regulators as the same timing. So we did not find any effect of growth regulator or the timing or the interaction of these two factors on the height, the node, or the internode lengths. But there were differences in variety as expected. Those difference, one, the 044 was 10% higher yielding than the Czech at that time, which was A120. So coming out of that study, we determined to tweak the treatments a little bit, and we added another chemical to the list. This time we added PIX, mepiquat chloride, a PGR that is very common in cotton production. We decided to increase the application rate from the labeled rate to twice the rate, and we had a half of the labor rate as well. And the application timing, we determined that maybe a 10 leaf stage is a little too late in the season, so we went earlier to 5 leaf stage, and we had 10 leaf stage, and then we included the bolting as well. The variety changed. This in that year, which was the AGR 044, that is the current commercial variety, the 641. So there was no effect of a plant growth regulator, the timing of it, and reducing plant height. But we found that stage was a significant main effect. We have to take into consideration that each one of these bars have about 36 or so hidden replications. So what we found, that a plant growth regulator application, it doesn't matter which one it was, any one of the three reduced the plant height by around 7% if we applied it at the 5-leaf stage. And this kind of applying a growth regulator early in the season would have a greater effect than applying it later in the season, because as the plant transitions from vegetative to reproductive, there is that rapid growth and elongation of the main stem. So we look at main stem elongation rate, and this is the difference in the height from the time of application to the time of harvest. And what we found, that applying any one of the plant growth regulators at a 10-leaf stage increased the main stem elongation rate by about 12% when averaged over the 5-leaf stage on bolting. So again, when it comes to seed yield, there was no effect of any of those plant growth regulators. There was no interaction with rate or stage, but there was a rate and stage main effect. What we found, that applying a 2x rate, and this is kind of counterintuitive, doubling the application rate kind of increased yields when we were expecting the opposite based on the greenhouse studies we have done. But what we figured out was happening in these studies, we were not getting the coverage that is required to make these chemicals active. So we needed more than 15 gallons per acre. We needed around 30 to mimic what we have done in the greenhouse to make these PGRs active. So there was a rate main effect. This would definitely not be a recommendation, because it's kind of counterintuitive. And then there was a stage main effect. We're applying that PGR at the 10-leaf stage increased yield by around 12%. So to summarize these three studies, we only found a PGR effect on reducing the growth in controlled environment. And in the field studies, the plant growth regulators did not have any effect on the canopy architecture. In 2015-16, we found that applying any of the regulators that we tested at the 5-leaf stage reduced height by around 8%. And applying any one of those PGRs at the 10-leaf stage increased the main stem elongation rate by about 14% over the 5-leaf stage and at bolting. So I'd like to share some ideas if anyone will be doing plant growth regulator studies. The volume of application is extremely important. The timing of application is important as well. So we are taking all the lessons that we have learned from these three studies and redesigning that study for this season from that's going to be going into the ground in November, we are adding yet another chemical to the list, prohexadione, which is a farther down that gibberellin biosynthesis pathway that blocks it. So we are hoping to increase the application volume from 15 gallons per acre to about 30 gallons per acre, and then also to determine whether suppressing the plant architecture, if it has any effect on the oil quality. So I did not present anything on the value proposition here of Carinata. As you can see, that the yields were like 3,500 pounds per acre grown in the southeast. My colleague, who will be presenting next, will be discussing some of the reasons why Carinata is a fit for southeast rotation systems. And with that, any questions? Yes, Dr. Anderson.
Look at the yields and look at the production of yield compared to the biomass. Do you have a harvest index from that study?
For this particular study, we do not, but for Carinata, the harvest index would range from anywhere from 0.33 to about 0.4, depending on the management. And N rate has the greatest effect on that harvest index, based on the results we have. But for this particular study, we did not. We may add that to the list of measurements for this upcoming season. So producers are recommended to have this crop in the ground in our region before the end of November. And there are many reasons for this, but the main one is to mitigate the risks from freeze damage, which in Florida, freeze damage is something else to think about. But if you plant at that time, that recommended window, you would have bolting, which you have maximum stem elongation, somewhere in February, the middle of February to the end of February. No, we have not, and that's actually a very good idea. We probably, because they're blocking different parts of this pathway, it would probably be good to have a compound, a cocktail, and maybe that will be another treatment to add to the list. One of the limitations of this study is we did not have lodging in our plant growth regulator studies, but we had lodging in pretty much every other study. You know, just the perks of doing field studies. So it is an issue in our commercial fields, though, where we would have swaths of Carinata on the ground after a heavy rainfall. And it is an issue for harvesting, because once that crop is on the ground, the seeds would start germinating in the pods if it's lying on the ground. So it is an issue. That's why we were working on PGRs to manage that canopy structure so it stays upright, have good standability scores to allow for harvesting and minimize the harvest losses. So it is definitely an issue in our region, and we've seen it pretty much every year that the crop has been produced. But as of now, we don't have a PGR recommendation for the crop within our region because our results are inconclusive.